Our first reading this morning is Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7. Please listen for the word of God. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike, perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and who do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans for the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad. And our second reading comes from Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. So again, listen for the word of God. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he comes home. He lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you have blessed us with these words from your Holy Scripture. And as we reflect upon them this morning, may we be guided by your Holy Spirit, that we may come to understand and live them. Amen. So the question I have before I start this morning is, how many have completed the seek and find on the cover of the bulletin? Well, let me tell you that all the words are there, but I didn't make an answer key, so you're on your own. But if you want to keep working on them during this sermon, go right ahead. So we've talked about lost and found, seek and find, already themes lifted up this morning. And when I think of finding lost and found things, I think back to my high school days. When I was in high school, I ran track, and there was one time when I was warming up for my race, and I saw a group of my teammates all gathered around in a clump on their hands and knees, combing the grass with their hands. You can probably guess what was going on. They were looking for a lost contact lens. My teammate, Dave, was trying to change his contact lens when a gust of wind blew it away and it landed in the thick grass of the infield. Immediately, he was on his hands and knees trying to find that lost item. And of course, without the lens, he was having trouble seeing. But soon, several of our teammates joined him, try to help him find his lost contact lens, crawling around there on the grass, combing through it with their hands. And yet, even with their help, that lost lens could not be found. And so after about 5 futile minutes, someone shouted, "Go get Ulrich." And the cry was echoed, "Get Ulrich over here. Go find him. Get Ulrich." And off went two of the younger kids to find another kid named Ulrich. And soon Ulrich came sprinting over, and he knew immediately what had happened. He asked Dave where he had been standing when he lost the lens, and then Ulrich got down on his hands and knees, and then to my surprise, everybody else stood up, gave him room, and only Ulrich was on the ground looking for that lens. You see, Bob Ulrich, who was one of those kids that was tolerated on the track team, he wasn't particularly fast, and he tended to be a goof-off, but he had one talent that made him more valuable than anyone else. He could find lost contact lenses. When Bob went to work, we all just watched. And sure enough, it was not more than 2 minutes that he got down on the ground that Bob emerged from that grass triumphant, contact lens in hand. And another track athlete was saved from embarrassment of having gone home and explained to his mom where his contact lenses were. Not to mention the semi-blindness of running your race without a lens. I suspect that everyone here has a lost and found story. Perhaps it was the time your wallet was lost and someone returned it. Oh, wait, that happened to me. Or the time that you got separated from your child in a department store and you panicked. Oh, that happened to me too. Or the time you took a wrong turn on the highway and ended up miles from your destination. You had no idea where you were. And yes, that happened to me too. The thing is, we are all good at losing things and at getting lost. Which brings me to our scripture lessons this morning. Jesus was at the height of his popularity, and Luke tells us that large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Now, some in those crowds were traveling with Jesus because they needed a miracle and they hoped Jesus would grant it. Some were there because they liked to hear what he taught. Some were there because they just wanted to be where the crowds were. And some, like the Pharisees, were there because they were suspicious of this new country preacher. So crowds gathered where he went, and Jesus welcomed them. He taught them. He healed them. He even ate with them. Whoever they were, Jesus welcomed them. And this caused the Pharisees to grumble. "Look at him," they said. "He eats with sinners." And they were right. He did eat with sinners. He ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and liars and cheaters and all sorts of unsavory characters. He welcomed them into his circle. He broke bread with them and laughed with them and made them part of the group. And the Pharisees grumbled even louder. So Jesus decided to tell a parable, actually two of them. The first, which we heard this morning, is about a shepherd who has 100 sheep but loses one. And so he leaves the 99 to find that one lost sheep. And the second is about a woman who has lost one of her 10 coins, and she scours the house until she finds it. And when the lost sheep is found, and the lost coin returned, there is great rejoicing, not just by the shepherd or the woman, but by everyone they know. Now, there can be no doubt who Jesus is talking about here, who the 99 are and the one is, who the 9 are and the one is. Can there? Can there be any doubt? The great Presbyterian preacher Fred Craddock once told a story about a cow, on how the cow got to the other side of the fence. The cow, he said, started out in the middle of the field and did what cows do. It nibbled the grass.
And when it finished in that spot, it took a step forward and kept nibbling. And it took another step forward and kept nibbling. And then another step and another step, nibbling all along the way until the cow had eaten a path right up to the fence line. And there on the other side of the fence was some more delicious grass. So Craddock tells us the cow pushed against the fence, and if there was a weak spot in the fence, the cow can push through. And so that's how the cow ends up on the other side, eating more grass. Even though there was a whole field of grass inside the fence, the cow has managed to go after the grass that is outside the fence. And when the farmer comes to find the cow has lost and has to be found again. The thing is, the cow doesn't know that it is lost. Neither does the lost sheep. It just happens to wander off. And the lost coin certainly doesn't know that it is lost. It's just lying around somewhere. You see, there are 99 sheep that are, what, located? And only one that is lost? But who is that one? Is it the sinning tax collector? Or is it the arrogant Pharisee? Or is it the crowd of people? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's all of them. The problem is, neither the Pharisee nor the tax collector or the sinner knows that they are lost. Like the cow, they have wandered off in different directions maybe, but they have both wandered off outside the fence. And that is the point of these stories. One coin lost today and a different coin lost tomorrow. Yesterday, a sheep named Wooly wanders off. Today, it might be Big Ears or Blackfoot or any of the other 99 sheep. You see, any shepherd knows that each of the sheep is capable of wandering off, and any woman knows that the coins can get lost again and again. Sometimes, when I'm reading Jesus' parables, I try to place myself in the story. For example, in the story of the Good Samaritan, I ask myself, am I the Samaritan who offers help, or am I just one of those that pass by? In this story, I don't think it matters. I could be the lost sheep, or I could be one of the 99. I could be one of the sinning tax collectors, or I could be the arrogant Pharisee. I am both, and it doesn't matter. For the parable is not about the sheep, nor is it about the coin. It is about the shepherd who goes and looks. It is about the woman who scours the house until she finds. A minister once told a story of a church he served in rural Montana, which is big sheep-raising territory. The shepherds would often drive their sheep through that church's grounds on the way to new pastures. It was a common sight and an accepted practice in those parts. One day, the pastor found a stray sheep grazing on the church lawn and rightfully assumed that it belonged to the shepherd who had come through a couple days earlier. Eager to help, the pastor drove up to the high meadow and found the shepherds with the rest of their sheep. And he told them about the lost sheep on his lawn and could they come down to retrieve it? And to his surprise, they said no. They wouldn't go and get that sheep. It was lost because it couldn't keep up. It was injured and probably would eventually fall prey to coyotes. It was not worth their effort to retrieve it. It was already dead in their minds. Fortunately, Jesus is a different kind of shepherd. And God's economy is not like ours, thank God. Ours is a shepherd who will leave the large flock behind and search for the one lost sheep. It may be injured, it may be slow, but to the good shepherd, every sheep is valuable. Every sheep is worth going after, and that is the point Jesus is trying to make. Most of us don't realize that we are lost. Like the wandering cow, we nibble our way right out of our discipleship. We quit our spiritual disciplines. We develop bad habits. We take our relationships for granted. We get too busy to study the Bible or take time for prayer. We spend our money on our trinkets and rather than tithe it to the Lord. And before long, we find ourselves outside the fence. And yet even then, we don't know we're lost. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will come to find us. There may be a church full of faithful sheep, but Jesus will come and find us when we have wandered off. For that is what Jesus does. He looks for lost sheep. He keeps searching for the lost coin. Like the search and rescue unit, he is always willing to go into the wilderness and find the stranded hiker. And fortunately for us, he will do it again and again and again. And as often as we wander off, Jesus comes looking for us. Christian writer Friedrich Niebuhr wrote this about this passage. Had Jesus lived in Texas, his parable of the restless God who will not abide the loss of anyone, whether a murmuring multitude or one lone sheep, might have gone somewhat differently. Out on those vast rangelands where individual cattle and horse inevitably stray from their herds, ranchers have always had to retrieve lost animals. Today they use aircrafts and trucks, but not so long ago they employed donkeys for such work. A healthy, well-fed donkey is smart, stubborn, and strong. It loves nothing more than being at home. If left some distance away, a donkey will return home no matter what obstacles it faces. To get a wandering critter back, ranchers simply tied one end of a rope onto a horse or a stray cow, and the other end to one of their donkeys. Then they left the pair to work things out. Sooner or later, both animals would show up at the ranch, and upon their arrival, they might both look worse for wear, but they'd be home. If retraced, their tracks would likely appear as a sequence of donkey hoof prints and a whole lot of skid marks. Niebuhr goes on to write, So it is that God gets us back from our meandering strays that we so often make of ourselves. God's Son takes the pounding, for we never make his journey easy or simple. Indeed, it costs him his life, for the rangeland he must traverse includes the abyss. But he will not be stopped until each of us rests at home. God puts the same persistent spirit in each of us and into our communities of baptized, gathered ones, and ties around our neck the same sort of harness, the yoke of discipleship that draws us along, always in the footsteps of the eternal restless searcher. And I'm glad that that eternal restless searcher continues to search for me. And may we all join in rejoicing at that. Amen.